Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Every other Monday, we're coming at you with news, show reviews, and previews of upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're just getting into the scene or you've seen it all, this is the show for you.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network and wherever you get your audio.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
Hey, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. Build a customized renter's policy with American Family Insurance so you can protect your tandem bike on the go.
Thief!
Oh, he is struggling with that two-seater. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Some exclusions may apply. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super J-Cast. I'm Joel. I'm joined by David McDonald. It is Tuesday, 24th of June, 2025. This is episode 367. Damon, how are you diddling?
It's diddly-diddly-do. It is fucking brutal hot here, as I was explaining to all the early birds who may have hopped in to listen to us live. It's fucking balls-ass hot, and I don't like it. I hate the summer to begin with. And this does it no favors. And aside from that, we're good. We're we know it's G1 season right around the corner. That's for fucking sure. And lots of response to our show, our previous show, our negative Nelly show. I think we're good, right? I think we're all good.
Yeah, it was cathartic for me. I needed to get that out of my system. How are you feeling emotionally after the turbulence of last week's offerings?
I mean, I would love to sit here and tell you that, oh, I got it out of my system, and it's kind of the same. I know people have tried to give us the medicine with a little spoonful of ice cream. It ain't working. I'm sorry. It just ain't working for me. You can tell me all the things of why this is a good idea. And I'm sorry. I just can't buy what you're selling.
Yeah. I don't know. Some stuff has happened that's cheered me up a bit and is maybe positive. Some stuff's continue to make me angry. We're not in a good place. We're not in a healthy place at the moment. I still haven't had a week to calm down and think about it. I still think the curtains are on fire, and it's given me a chance, I think, and a lot of us to sort of step back and take stock of where New Japan is at the moment. And I think for me, one of the biggest issues is not actually the House of Torture thing. It's the lack of new stars. Like there's no ace of New Japan anymore. And we're looking at this crop of young guys who've come through, and I've been lamenting for years on this show about the lack of domestic heavyweights at New Japan's disposal and the lost generation of young lions. And then this crop finally came through, and that got delayed several years due to COVID. And now finally they did come back and sort of 2023, and they're still fucking dragging their feet on them. And that's, I just true, don't think they've got the luxury to do that. They've not got behind any of them. And just looking, and again, the acid test, if you want to know whether or not a guy's properly getting pushed, is look at your IWGP World Heavyweight Champions. Look at your Wrestle Kingdom main event winners. Look at your G1 Climax winners. That's where push comes to shove, right? That's where they're putting their money where the mouth is and seeing, you know, who they're really getting behind. And if you look at those names, it's very, very cautious, very safe, very conservative. And I just think that's not going to cut it anymore. Like, it feels to me like it's a sort of a conveyor belt where one star leaves and then the conveyor belt rolls on and it's just the next, you know, most senior person, whoever the next upper mid card, everyone just gets bumped up one spot. And then, you know, that's how we're ending up where we are. And, you know, as I'm looking back at things like the Zack Sabre Jr. title reign, which I was supportive of at the time, but in retrospect, I think that was a mistake. And, you know, looking at our list of world champions post Okada, it's Sanada, then Naito, Moxley, Naito, Zach, Goto. And that's, it's not exactly pushing the boat out there, is it? So I just really strongly feel at this point that we've wasted so much time and failed to push any of the new guys to any meaningful degree. And they don't feel like stars as a result. And I don't know what we're waiting for. They're not just going to sort of magically transform into the complete package where you're like, oh, now suddenly they're good enough to be world champions. I just think if you book them like stars, they will feel like stars and people will respond to them like stars. So I just feel my complaint has moved from, there's too much House of Torture to what are we doing? We've got to build some new stars. We've got to choose one. I don't care who it is. Pick one, whether it's Yuya or Tsuji or Shota. I don't give a fuck at this point. Just pick someone and push them properly. And like properly, I don't mean losing in a final or challenging unsuccessfully for something. I mean actually winning the G1 world title, Wrestle Kingdom main event, because that is the acid test for whether or not a guy is a star. And they've we're nowhere near.
And so I'll work my way backwards. One, I feel like that was the line in the sand between stars and not being a star. I don't know if that holds any water at this point, because just rattling off the names that you mentioned, you know, it's not like they went through those things to get to where they needed to be. Two, it feels like it's a lot of short-term gain, like we're keeping the lights on kind of thing with House of Torture, as opposed to it being the long-term solution. And the reason why we're seeing a ton of that is because for whatever reason, whether that's, hey, they sell t-shirts, or, hey, you know what, they're, you know, I don't know, there's buzz, whether it be good or bad, about them. But whatever metric they want to use to say, okay, this is the direction we're going, it feels like a short-term thing to keep the power on in the building. And the reason why, because they don't have that person that they trust. And I think really that's the bottom line. Like, they don't have, like, if they had someone on that roster, Joel, I would find it very difficult to believe that they wouldn't, because they want to push House of Torture, right? Like, I think they would have done that, because why wouldn't they? You know, let's put it this way: if they're going to do that for House of Torture because they feel that they can make money in the short term, again, by whatever metrics you deem that to be the case, then they would have done that with X. They would have done that with, maybe X is a bad term I should use. They would have done that with random wrestler that is coming up through the ranks. And they haven't. And that's what is the most worrying, is that, and again, there's been nobody who has said these exact words to us, but the general feeling is that they don't have anybody that they trust that would be that person. Like, Wrestle Kingdom right now is really, again, we're assuming that G1 winner challenges, you know, the usual New Japan Pro Wrestling thing. But honestly, it feels like this is based around a guy who's been the head star, ace, whatever you want to call him, of the promotion for X amount of years on his last ride. Like that's Wrestle Kingdom. And unless there are major shifts and major changes, then we're going to put a guy in a position that might get poo-pooed just because the booking has been so wishy-washy. A lot of poo-poo wishy-washies. me and my strong language on this podcast. But you get my point? It's like, I don't think they have the faith in anyone right now.
Or could it be they're upset about annoying the veterans that they've got who've been patiently waiting their turn? Either way, it shakes out to the same thing, doesn't it? And each of those title reigns, like, you know, the Sonata one, the Zach one, the Goto one, now we can make the argument for it. Like, we see the value in it. They were not without merit. But I think collectively, they've been quite catastrophic in failing to effectively build the new generation.
Yeah.
And it's especially the Sonata one. You look back on that, like, what are we doing there? That was just a dud.
And that was a long time. Like, yeah. That was in like a month. That was a decent amount of time to be able to establish.
He beat all of the young guys in his G1 block. Yeah. And you look back on that now with the benefit of hindsight and think, fuck, now you see what the problem was. And so I don't mean to call people out, but we've got in the chat, USVA guy says the slow build is the proper way. No one else in wrestling is building any star. I don't watch a lot of pro wrestling now, but I've seen enough of Ozawa to think that's how to do it. So guys come back and they've pushed him. He's won matches. He's won the world title. He's got the charisma. He carries himself like a star. They've booked him like a star. He feels like a star. And New Japan don't have anyone on that level. I don't know if you've seen any of Ozawa, Damon, but he feels like exactly what New Japan are missing at the moment. And I don't think it's the talent. I think it's just having the guts to choose someone and get behind them and think, fuck it, look, this might not work and it might piss off some of the older guys who've been waiting for their turn, but we've got to do something here because the long-term sustainability is being jeopardized here.
I don't think there's anything that is real about it's my turn. Like, if anybody has that mindset of, okay, well, I'm due because I put in X amount of years in this company, you can get solidly right up the street. Like, that's nothing is guaranteed. It's like saying that you're at your job for 12 years and, you know, you should get that promotion because you've been there for 12. Yeah, but you've actually kind of been a bit mid for at least 8 of those fucking years. I don't know. I
feel we're sort of killing the potential. We're sort of, before it's even had a chance with these young guys, like Shota, I don't know, not to say he should have won at Wrestle Kingdom, but him losing that Wrestle Kingdom main event, David Finlay losing to Goto at Sakura Genesis. And I know we're all enjoying the Goto run and it all gives us that lovely warm, fuzzy feeling in our tummies, but as it drags on, I'm starting to think, was that the moment? Have we missed it? Have we missed the chance where we could have transitioned this into something worthwhile and elevated a guy from an upper mid-carder to a possible star? I don't know. We'll never know now because Finlay didn't win. And now, where is he? He just feels like a jobber at the moment. Again, this is not me saying, oh, Finlay should have been the guy. We should have got behind him. But it's just sort of emblematic of that kind of booking where we've got Tsuji losing in a G1 final, unsuccessfully challenging Naito at Sakura Genesis, unsuccessfully challenging Sanada at Dominion. Shota is nearly, and not even getting the proper push, like not even going all in and having him win the G1 climax to challenge at Wrestle Kingdom. This sort of half-assed booking where he kind of backdoors his way into the main event title match and then it all goes tits up anyway. It's just I feel they're not giving these guys a chance.
It's amazing though, because okay, look again, I'm not shitting on the idea of Hirooki Goto as champion. I'm shitting on the idea of Hirooki Goto being a champion for going on what 6 months now and into G1 season. Like, I don't think anybody expected that. And like, I guess also, again, it's pro wrestling. We can change things up in seconds, but like, what's the exit strategy here? Like, what's the plan to move forward here? And it doesn't even feel like that there are guys that are elevated to that point to even challenge at this point, Joel. It just, what do we got? We got Zach around the corner, and, you know, we had Shingo before that, and I'm sure we'll have some other fucking Homa.
You know what my fear is, Damon? You know what I'm scared of? The person who I'm worried now is going to be the one to beat Goto and be the next champion. Evil. I'm worried it's going to be Evil.
Yeah. Well, not for nothing. That is one guy that they absolutely have put in a position to be that guy. Yeah. Like honestly, if you go through that entire roster and you gave me odds, I would say Evil's my pick right now. Absolutely. Because
fuck me. We're down bad.
But seriously, I mean, but that's, I mean, name me another guy that has, and I'll put it in air quotes, more momentum than Evil.
Yeah. All the booking is pointing that way, isn't it?
It sure is. And all I can do to that is fucking shoulder shrug because I hate to say it. That is if there is any value that New Japan Pro Wrestling is seeing in House of Torture, I guarantee you on my fucking left thumb, it's short term. It's fucking short term. And it does. Once again, this is pro wrestling. Things can change in a heartbeat. It's where are we going? What is this promotion? Who is this promotion? Like there absolutely feels like there is a, you know, you mentioned like there's no ace. And I think what goes hand in hand with that is New Japan Pro Wrestling has absolutely zero identity right now. Like, what is New Japan Pro Wrestling right now? And I know that's some fucking esoteric, dumb, wishy-washy thought, but like, what is it? Like, there's no identity. Whereas before, you absolutely felt like you had an identity as a promotion. You stood out on your own compared to everything in pro wrestling. And guess what? Other promotions wanted to be you. They wanted to be you in the worst fucking way. And now it's like a copy of a copy of a copy of a, and there's a lot of people who think they're doing New Japan, but they're really doing pantomime New Japan Pro Wrestling. And we have New Japan Pro Wrestling who doesn't feel, it feels like a fucking rudderless ship at this point.
And what New Japan used to get so much praise for was restacking the deck and having the next guy along ready to go when the top guy would leave. So, you know, like, Nakamura's gone, Naito's ready to go. AJ goes, Kenny's ready to go. Kenny goes, Jay White's ready to go. That kind of sort of revolving door where they were carefully nurturing the next guy, they'd handpick them. So you knew, even when the top guy left, we're going to be okay. And I know that AEW's existence has accelerated that process, but they're failing to do that. And I don't think it's because the talent's not there. I just think it's just guts. I think they've lost their guts, to be quite honest.
Well, here's the thing with AEW. It's not like AEW just fucking sprung up and now they're running, you know, events, you know, at, you know, Reliance Stadium or something. It's, or Wembley. It didn't happen overnight. Like, it's like a lot of these things you see coming. I don't understand how you don't plan for that. And again, you knew that was going to be a war. You knew, and you might not be able to fucking be, you know, dollar for dollar with Tony Khan, but goddamn, yeah, you had to know it was coming, and you had to have a plan, right? Something in place, and like to this day, we still haven't had that, and it sucks because it is all those names that you mentioned. The absolute, some of, you know, some of the most talented pro wrestlers in modern pro wrestling history we had on our roster, and they left. And there's only so many fucking apples on a tree. Like, what, you know, it's like we have the rest, right? And everyone else is going off to where the land of blank checks. And I will say this, that that to me is not a sustainable business model unless your dad is fucking, you know, a billionaire.
It's just like these people are leaving and they've not had the next guy ready, have they? And I know to some extent they must have been caught out. Like they obviously did not see Okada leaving coming or Naito leaving coming, because they've just, there seems to be no plan for it. They do not have that next guy ready to be like, okay, don't worry, we got this. You're the guy now. There's the ball. Run with it, mate.
Yeah. And again, some of that is the fact that talent like that doesn't necessarily grow on trees, but in the same breath, Joel, it's pro wrestling. This is not the NBA. This is not Premier League. This is not where, okay, we have to train these guys and develop these guys. And to a certain degree, you kind of control that fate in pro wrestling.
Yeah. Perception is reality, isn't it?
It is.
If you push them like a star, they will be received like stars, I'm sure. And I know there's variables and unknowns there, but just try, at least give it a go. Like, belt one of these guys up, like proper push, win one of those three things that I said, and see how it goes. And then if it all fails, then at least they can say they've tried.
They're going to build up evil. And here's another reason why. And I don't know this for sure, but kind of makes a little sense. They know nobody wants them. They have anxiety about putting that belt on anybody that's even remotely interesting, because they're afraid they're going to get fucking signed and walk away. Right? I would. How many times can you fucking get burnt? They're going to give that title to evil. Nobody wants them, and away we go.
Fuck.
I feel good. Feeling good? It is what it is. It is what it is. You can either do this. You can turn off your fucking brain and enjoy it, or you can – oh, you have three options. Or you can leave the brain on and be miserable, or C, bail out, say, you know what? It was a fucking fun thing while it lasted, but these three albums that they put out stink, and let me know when they come back to form. Those are your options. That's the hard truth.
Well, a question here that I think might be a handy segue into the nice thing we wanted to talk about today. So the Bebler says, does this Aaron Wolf business feel like the company has been bailed out from facing consequences for their uninspired booking once again? Mm-hmm. And Metham says, we've known this signing was coming for a while now. Perhaps I'm being a bit conspiratorial. Is this why they've never truly pushed any of the young guys? Because they knew this megastar was on the way. Just tread water until then. So, yeah, I mean, we'll get into talking about Aaron Wolf, who he is, what his significance is. But like you've got 6 months now to get your house in order, and not that house, not the house of torture. Get the figurative New Japan house in order for when Aaron Wolf arrives, because he's going to need some people to wrestle against. You know, you're going to have some stars for him to feud with. You can't just have him just propping up the whole thing. And I'm wondering if that is not what they're thinking at the moment, because yeah, I mean, there's no point him coming in being the big future ace or current ace. I don't know what the timeline is on that. If there's no one for him to have meaningful feuds with, because no one else feels like a star in the company, because then it's just going to feel like him with a supporting cast. But let's just talk about Aaron Wolf for a bit then. So he's officially signed with New Japan now. So I know the rumors have been circulating for a while. He's made no secret of his desire to do that. So if you don't know who he is, so he is an Olympic gold medalist. He won the men's 100 kilogram judo title at the Tokyo Games in 2021. So that was Japan's first Olympic win in that weight class since the year 2000. He's got the triple crown. So He's the first judoka of US descent, actually, to win the All Japan Openweight Championship, then followed with World Championship gold in 2017 and Olympic gold. So that's a fairly rare club to win all three of those achievements. And also has a lot of cultural cachet in Japan. So he was born in Tokyo. He's got a Japanese mum, American dad. And he's a big star in Japan. He's charismatic. He's a household name. He's quite an inspirational figure in the country. Even after the Olympics, he's been very visible. He's done loads of TV appearances. He's got a popular YouTube channel and is sort of generally celebrated for having a very sort of candid, relatable personality. So I can't overstate like what a massive get this is for New Japan. This is not just like random guy who won an Olympic gold medal. Like, he is a bona fide star in Japan, and this has the potential to be huge. So they've announced it. You know, they had the press conference with Tanahashi there, and Kidani was there, and they've announced that he's going to make his debut at Wrestle Kingdom 20, January 4th, 2026. It's actually the first time in over 30 years that a Japanese Olympian has made a transition since Manabu Nakanishi, 1992. Ah. He was the last to do it. So, massive opportunity here. Like, this is huge. And I know that he might be an unknown to Western fans. Like, Jersey Joe Gotch says, who exactly is Aaron Wolf? As an American wrestling fan who watches New Japan, I can't imagine why any athlete who wants to be a wrestler doesn't pursue a career in NXT, since WWE basically bends over backwards, pays much better, and values raw athletes more than wrestlers. It's all the things that I've explained, really, that he is a star in Japan. And I think that is the best way for him to segue that into being a pro wrestling star, because if he were to go straight over to America, and make no mistake, I'm sure that's something that he would have considered and discussed with people. And I'm absolutely certain WWE would have been interested in someone with his pedigree. But apparently it was Okada who said, no, you should start in New Japan. So I think it's very important, first of all, that we do not let it become known to other parties that he has an American father and that he can speak English. So just make sure he's never, ever seen speaking English, and just keep him away from that completely. Yeah, don't let anyone know about that. So we'll try and keep that one under a hat, please, Aaron. But yeah, this is a massive get for the company. And like I said, I think the big challenge now is to get the company in some sort of working order, so that when he debuts, it is a healthy product, and he's got lots of future, current and future potential rivals and people he can feud with, because this is a massive golden goose that's fallen into their lap here. And, you know, of course, there's a lot of variables. You know, it's not 100% nailed on that he's going to be a successful transition, but I think there's all the ingredients there for it to be a massive success. So it's very exciting. Where are you landing on this?
No, that's the thing. Like, it's no guarantee. It's no, you know, this is, you know, our future superstar, ace, you know, king of the hill, whatever the fuck you want to call it. No guarantee. But, yeah, you like, he checks a lot of boxes, and even has some that you wouldn't expect. You know, some people asked, is this like the New Japan Pro Wrestling equivalent of like a Kurt Angle? And I kind of have to say yes, and then some, to a certain degree. Look, I'm excited for it. I think it is, without question, a plus and a positive and something bright to look forward to. If you're looking for a long term, that's something that you want to hang your hat on and follow and get involved in and watch this incredible athlete become, hopefully, fingers crossed, an incredible pro wrestler. A lot of pressure. On someone who might have some clue as to what pro wrestling, what is involved in pro wrestling. But might not fully 100% grasp the, again, I hate to use the same term again, but the pressure that will be on him. And maybe it's a case of, I don't think they're intentionally holding back anybody that's on the roster now. But, you know, if we're peaking at the same time, that would be pretty great. Or, you know, even if some of these young guys start to see that next level, next step with the booking and with them in the ring and all the whole nine yards. And then along with this is this up and coming rising guy that at the very least can not fuck up, right? Like at the beginning, I think everybody's is just, you know, take it easy. Don't fuck up and let the veteran carry the match, right? Let just follow instructions. And I think that, again, if we're looking at a resume, like this is these are the type of people that, one, we used to get. Again, not, they don't fall from trees, but we used to get. And at the very least, we'd be looking at to kind of join the ranks. So it is exciting. I will say this too. As much as we're sitting here waving the flag and sounding the trumpets, we have to have patience with the guy. We have to have patience with the guy. We can't expect like just right out of the gate this monumental seismic shift. I mean, that's asking a ton. So I would say, and I would say me included in this, trust me, it'll be very hard for me to kind of pull back, ease up, let's give it time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we have a stud. We have a stud. And if this works, we are in for a fun ride.
What do you think would be an appropriate debut match for him at Wrestle Kingdom?
5-minute exhibition-y kind of thing. A Yuji Nagata. Something along those lines, I think, is what we're looking at. And I don't have a problem with that. Like, let it be a little bit of a showcase. Let him throw somebody around a little bit. Let him, you know, get the upper hand on a veteran pro wrestler just to set the mood and set the tone of what's next. He doesn't have to pin him. I'm not saying he's going in there and fucking destroying him. But I'm saying, like, he'll get the upper hand. He'll get the upper hand more than a few times just to wet the palate of people. That's really what we want to do. We want a veteran in the ring. We want him to get the upper hand and look strong and look like, ooh, we have something here. I think if that happens, that'll be a massive win. That'll be huge.
Do you think he should win his debut match?
I think it'll go like a 5-minute draw kind of thing.
Okay.
Again.
Because do you not think we need to do things a bit differently? Because, you know, I've tried to emphasize here what a prestigious coup this is. Like, this is a game changer for pro wrestling in Japan and internationally. Like, his debut is going to be a landmark moment. It's Wrestle Kingdom is now going to be broadcast, I think, on TV Asahi. I think that's going to be a huge thing. That's not, I don't know what the history of that is, but that's pretty groundbreaking as it is. So there's going to be so many eyeballs on it that to do the classic New Japan conservative thing, you know, he's coming out in his black trunks and wrestling with a dad 5 minutes. Oh, time's up. Oh, you did good, kid. I don't know. I just feel like we've got to do something different here.
I would say that would be, I think that would be rushing it. I really do. Like, because if he goes out there and let's just say that he challenges, I don't know, I'm trying to think of somebody like somebody on House of Torture who might be a singles title.
That's what I want. I was going to say to him, and I want all of them lined up, and I want him to just be throwing them into. I want a row of bins, wheelie bins, lined up on the edge of the ring, and he just picks them up one by one and throws them into the bins, and that's the last we see of House of Torture.
I mean, it closes the chapter very fittingly. I just worry about because. And again, I'm not sitting here saying that I know the mindset of every pro wrestling fan that follows this product, but I think they would. I think I guess my point is this, is if they did that, what if it went wrong? Like, there is a little bit of a safety net in the guy is 5 minutes. Again, this is his first big time match in front of a lot of people. I think to ask this guy to go 20 minutes against for any title would be asking a ton. And plus, I think there is this, even though he is a star and even though he is a name that people recognize outside of pro wrestling, I still think it's important and a little bit like, okay, so we have people who watch this product religiously who have asked us, who is this guy? Mr. Wolf, isn't he in fucking Reservoir Dogs? So again, it's just a little bit of just education and getting the people to say, oh, okay, that's that guy. Oh, look at how he handled. And again, I used Yuji Nagata as the fucking example. You know, like that's, I think that's important. I think the establishment. Now, could you do that on a Road 2 show? Yeah, maybe. But just like you said, this is going to be broadcast on television. The television. They're going to put them on television. I think what we want to do is we want to educate. And then, again, you're not shooting your load at Wrestle Kingdom. I mean, there's pluses and minuses. Trust me. It's like if they announce like a major name against Wolf at the Dome, that would spark interest. I can't lie. I don't know. I would probably go a little conservative way. I know after going 20 minutes talking about how they shouldn't, but they probably will and they probably should.
And could you map out what you think his first year in New Japan looks like?
I'll go so far as to say this. I would have zero problem if Wrestle Kingdom was a success. You can give him a program after that against with somebody. Doesn't have to be for a title. But I would have no problem if it's a success and we see a future and we have a talent on our hands. Could we potentially be in strapping a rocket to him and making him champ? Keep in mind, we had John Moxley as our world champion. You know what I mean? I would have no problem with that. Zero. Zilch. None. I think once you establish the fact that we have a guy, make him a guy. And I think Wrestle Kingdom is that test. I really do. We could be that quick. New beginning. You know what I mean? We could do that. You could have him perform very well in this match and challenge at the end of the night to whoever the champion winds up being at the end of the night. I wouldn't have a problem with that. If, in fact, we know, and again, it is early. It's a very small data set. But if we were confident in that, fucking go for it. We had Evil as our world champion. We had John Moxley as our world champion. All bets are off. Let's make a star. Let's make a star. What do you got to lose? Let's make a star.
It's really interesting. They could go in so many different directions. Like wrestling against someone like Evil, I could see that being a relatively safe first option if you're doing all the House of Torture stuff. But even as I'm saying that, like I'm vomiting up into my mouth a little bit. Lady Guy Fury says, no question, only impending Wolf Bolton Hoss battle, generational rivalry hype. So that's the match that all of us sickos wanting the second coming of Inokiism, but good this time, are hoping for. So yeah, seeing Wolf and Bolton finally locking horns, that's one I've already rubbing my hands together.
I mean, Takeshita, is anybody going to fucking, hand wave that? I hope not.
Who's the other dude they've got? The other wrestler, I've forgotten his name. Obata, I think. Is that ringing a bell? Or have I just tricked him up? No, he's not a young lion. He's in the Shion Obata, that's it. So he's a fucking unit. He's massive. And he's on the wrestling team right now. And he's also said he's intending to switch to pro wrestling. Ooh. I'll try and find a picture of him because he is an absolute giant. So if we get the three of them in, then
We're in.
Hope yeah, Inokism's coming back.
We got it. You got that right. All right, look, I mean, let's do this. Let's reposition our mindset. And it's hard to do because G1's right around the corner and everyone wants to be excited. And I know everyone's trying to like lube up the engine and it's tough. I get it. I understand it. I'm right there with you. If you need a pot of gold at the end of the fucking storm-induced rainbow, this might be it. Like, we have talent, people. We have talent. Let's see if we have the balls to fucking go with it. And again, we're sitting here fantasy booking, and we know how well that goes. But like, if we're looking for a little positivity, if we're looking for a little energy with our watching of New Japan Pro Wrestling, it's a good start. You know, this is a good start.
Yeah, please open up your WhatsApp and have a look at this big boy.
All right, let's just WhatsApp. Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh. Oh, that is a big boy. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Look. Looks good. If it's decent in the ring, 2026 might be a little fun around these parts. Hang in. That's a good-looking kid right there.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Right, where are we going next? Zwiper says, will Aaron Wolf change his name to A.W. Mateo? What does the G, Nick says, what does the G in Olympic gold medalist Aaron Wolf stand for? The G gold stands medals. For Grafenberg.
Really? Wow, that's crazy.
Hit my G-spot as soon as I saw that he was announced.
We're 41 minutes in, and we hit our mark. Check mark. What does the G stand for? It stands for... God damn it, hang in there.
Good.
Good.
Good wrestling. Good wrestles. Yeah. Right, where are we going to go next? El Fantasmo's injured.
Aw. What's wrong with him?
He got hurt and missed a few shows.
With his pee-pee?
As I scrolled through the news website to try to find the exact injury.
I mean, it's not serious, is it? It's just a little banged up, taking a couple nights off.
So he has sustained an injury to his right knee.
Oh, okay. Right.
And he's... missed a few shows.
All right. Rub some dirt on it, ELP. Rub some dirt on it. That usually goes. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty wide-ranging, you know, that's like a lower body injury when we talk about, you know, hockey. Yeah, I mean, that could be a sprained ACL. That could be a torn MCL. That could be a bruise. So he's been out. Multiple shows, though, right?
Yeah.
All right. Nobody likes that. All right.
What if you can't make it to G1?
Yuji Nagata.
They should do Taichi versus Ishii. Second chance match.
Ooh. Again. Now we're talking. Were you upset? I know we're going to get there, but were you upset with the outcome?
Yeah, let's do that now. So this was the show for Monday show in Corrigan Hall, and the main event was Callum Newman defeating Taichi in the A block playing match, 23 minutes 32 seconds via Firebolt. What am I missing here, Damon?
The right guy won.
I know, right? Okay, so I want to separate these two things. Okay, let's talk about Callum Newman first, right? He deserves his spot in the G1 climax, so I want to take away nothing from him. He should be there. He's young. He's extremely talented. I think he's improved a ton since he was in last year. I think the Dontaku match he had with Goto on its own merit, that solidified his spot in the G1. So absolutely zero problems with him being in. He should be in. I thought he was very good in this match. I like the way he's kind of moving away from the flippy doos to be doing more of the kicks. He's laying in the kicks, and I like the kicks. And, you know, he took his licks in this match. He got hit really hard and stood and did all the fighting spirit, blah, 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 blah. He deserves to be in. He's very good, very talented. Happy with him going in. Yes?
I agree 1,000%. He should be in. And I would go so far as to say the fact that he had to be in a play-in match was kind of silly, but okay. You had to pick somebody. You picked him. He's in, and the right guy is in. But go ahead, because I'm going to agree with you again, probably, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think what my issue is not sort of making it a binary choice between Callum Newman and Taichi, because it shouldn't be that way. What I get upset with is then looking at the next set of playing matches, and I've said before, specifically Chase Owens against Yoshihashi, and I think Taichi clears both of those wrestlers comfortably.
Yeah.
So that's where my problem is. Like, he should be in over both of those guys. And
maybe he don't want to be in it.
That's a possibility. And if that is the case, he is just the ultimate work here, because he is selling how heartbroken he is and how much he wanted to be in, how angry he is about not being in. And he is making that G1 spot look like the most prestigious thing in the world.
Right.
You're right. Maybe that is a possibility. Maybe he just doesn't want to do it, and he wants to do his, you know, YouTube thing, whatever the fuck he's doing in his free time. But when you see him coming out and you hear the fans that still love him, and when Callum got the 3 count, it just deflated the whole crowd. Like, it was really quiet in there afterwards. People were gutted.
Yeah.
People love Taichi, and he can still go. He's still a fantastic wrestler. And even if he says, no, I don't really fancy it, if I'm New Japan, I'd be saying, well, tough shit.
Yeah, Top Teddy, you're in.
Yeah, you're in. We can't afford to not have you in. So I don't get it. Like, I'm missing something here, because they're not deaf, right? They're not blind. Surely they must be able to see and hear the reactions Taichi is getting and putting on great matches consistently. Like, he doesn't miss. When's the last time Taichi had a bad match? It doesn't happen. And it just seems like leaving money on the table. So there's something we're not seeing or understanding here, surely, because I can't get my head around putting Chase Owens in the G1 and not Taichi.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Now, again, I don't know if it's a slam dunk that Chase is in or not, but I mean, it does kind of smell that way, but okay.
I'm praying for Hiroki Goto to do some politicking for his boy. Come on.
I know, really. Pull some strings. Yeah, all those guys that want their spot. Well, come on. Now's the time to fucking step up. I think the right guy won. I hate the fact that we have guys that are put in that spot. And trust me, after that 3 count, the first thought in my mind was, I guess he doesn't want to be in it. Like it's his decision, because for all the things that you said, it just doesn't make much sense to me. If a guy wanted to be in and they're like, well, now we're going to go Callum. Okay, well, can I just be in the field? Nah, sit this one out again. It doesn't make much sense. And you're right. If that is the case, then what a fucking masterclass of getting over something that is relatively new and could be hand-waved easily. The getting over the idea of getting that spot and getting into the tournament is the most important thing in their lives. So it does lead me to believe that maybe that's a decision that's on him. And he's like, you know what? I'm good. You know, I don't need fucking night five in, you know, Fukuoka. I'm good. So, yeah, maybe that's the case. And Callum Newman, you know, he's probably going to have many, 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 many more tournaments. Young guy. He's got plenty of miles, you know, still left on that lease. I think we're good. I would have loved to have seen Tai Chi in it. Who did I listen to the other week? And I was just like, man, he's saying Tai Chi wrong. Or weird. I forget who it was. I don't know why I just thought of that. It was like Tai Chi or something. I kept saying that. I was like, why are you saying that?
Was it the holiday Christopher Mace?
No, it was a radio. It was a podcast of some kind. I forget. You know, it might have been the flagship, actually. It might have been Joe. I think it might have been Joe. Anyway, I just thought it was like, why is he saying that? Why is he saying it like that? You North Jersey Neptune fucking guy. All right, anyway. I don't think he's from Neptune. I think it was, where is he from? Like Rahway? I forget. Anywho, yeah.
That's, I always felt a bit bad for Callum Newman because it kind of, to some extent, like felt like Tai Chi ate his lunch. That,
yeah,
you know, we should be going into this excited about this, you know, dynamic young prospects qualifying for the G1, but everyone's like, oh, not Tai Chi.
Right. He really was in a no-win scenario booked in that. You know, of all people that he had to have a play-in match to get in. I was like, oh, poor guy. He should just been in. Weird spot to be put in, that's for fucking sure. But all right, here we go. Callum's in. And
anyone from the company who's got insight is listening, please just reach out, DM me. I won't go public with it. I'll keep it secret. Just tell me what is up with Tai Chi. Why is he keep getting snubbed from the tournament?
Please. Make Joel happy. You know, that's his guy. That's his boy.
Help all me right, understand.
Yeah. What was the other one that we saw that was a bar burner?
It was Adrilla Maloney defeating Tomohiro Ishii, 17 minutes, 10 seconds. Drilla killer. Two Drilla killers.
Yeah. He should have been in. I think we talked about it last week. You know, like they spent an entire year doing their best to get this guy in a position to be in a G1. Big Tom, I know a lot of people still hanging on to 2016 and say he can still go, and he probably still could. You know what? I'm not here to shit on Big Tom. The right guy's in it. Now, that leads me to, you've eliminated two studs. You know, two historic. Look, you put Ishii in G1. You know you're getting good matches. I don't care if it seems like it's the same Z's. I don't care if you feel like, we've seen this a million times. You know it's going to be good. Stop trying to fucking tell me it's not. That being said, the right guys are in. And I hate the fact that we had to make that line in the sand. I really do. But we did. Sometimes life is about hard choices. And your tag team champions are out. And the minute they won those titles, Joel, trust me, that was my first thought was, well, that's that. I don't think they're going to be in.
And of course, Ishii is the strong openweight champion.
Yeah, that prestigious gold.
And they are heavyweight tag champions as well. So tag champions who also were not in G1, 2022, FTR, 2019, GOD, 2018, Young Bucks, 2017, War Machine, and 2016, Briscoe. So, you know, we're back to the golden era of the tag champions not being in the G1 climax. But, what did you think of the match between Driller and Ishii?
I thought it was good. I thought it was a level they wrestled before.
I thought this was their best one out of the three.
Yeah, I thought this was a level above those. Me too. And if anything, again, you could give Ishii a lot of the credit. I would have no problem with people doing that. But you kind of showed what is on the table with Drilla. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think he'll have a good tournament. Like match-wise, quality-wise. People... Maybe not super buzz, but, you know, getting a little steam up for him. I think it's a good thing. I really do. I think he'll have a really good tournament. And I think the Ishii match, it helped. I think there was a true definitive reason why it was Ishii and Taichi in those matches, right? Like they gave them being Drilla and Callum, like they gave them everything they could to get them over. I felt that. So yeah, again, I like both of them, but the right guys are in, and I think they're going to do really well. And they have, it's not their first rodeo. So, you know, they know what to expect. They know the grind. They know how difficult it can be when you're in the middle of the slog of the tournament and you're expected to go out there and go again. So they know what they're in for, and they're young and they're fit. And yeah, I think it's a good thing. But I will also say this. I know the jury is still out on both of these guys. And okay, I think that's okay and somewhat fair. I'm not going to say that this is a make or break year for both of them, but I think a lot of people will be looking, and I think a lot of people are going to expect some leveling up for both of them. And this is the platform to do it. So it's make or break time. It's make or break time.
Yeah, it would be Driller's first G1 climax. And I would like to see him have good matches with people who are not Ishii or Shingo.
Right.
And there's some interesting matches for him in the B block. So Takeshita, you guys have a bad match with Takeshita. Gabe Kidd, that's going to be a really interesting one.
Yeah.
Zack Sabre Jr.
That should be good.
He's going to get a rematch with Shingo. Shota Umino, I mean, I'm kind of low-key looking forward to that. I don't know, I'm a bit bullish on Shota at the moment. I know he's all over the place in terms of the character presentation, but when he gets going, I think he's fucking great. Like, well, this sort of channeling of Kensuke Sasaki's been doing, more of that. I mean, him and Drill are beating the shit out of each other in a G1 match. That should be really good. Mm-hmm. And even El Fantasma, like, ELP's a guy who knows how to play to other people's strengths. I'm sure that'll be a really fun match as well. So I think B Block's a good fit for Driller. And yeah, I'm excited to see what he's got. And I'm looking forward to him being in for the first time. I'm looking forward to Oiwa, who I'm assuming is going to be Don File. I mean, we'll preview that one next week. But I think having those two guys as new entrants not being announced in the initial field and having them going through the playoffs does make sense, but it also made it the initial list of, was it 16 names feel a bit stale. You're like, okay, is that it? Whereas if they'd done that video and then it'd be like, Driller Maloney, and everyone's like, oh, like that might have given it a bit of buzz, and the same for Oiwa. So I understand why they've done it that way. And again, I think we should not lose sight of the fact that we are looking at the probability of having two first-time entrants here who I think deserve their spots in the shape of Driller and Oiwa. And like you, I think it's not exactly make or break, but a lot of eyeballs are going to be on them. And yeah, if they can't impress now, then when are you going to do it? You know, if you can't do it in a G1, when will you do it?
Right. Why did I think Driller was in G1?
He has been in Best of Super Juniors, but he's never been in the G1. He's only just moved up.
I'm a stupid idiot. I want to be the first time. I feel like Tony Kornheiser. You're not going to get the reference, but yeah. So, of the two, I know you said we will preview it next week, but
it's not that much to preview, to be honest.
It really isn't.
Which
are both the clowns going through? One of the two, none of them. Give me your initial thoughts.
It is inconceivable to me that Fat Fuck Fale will beat Oiwa.
He'll die in the ring.
That's not happening. Yeah. There is no chance that is happening. Fale has been quite rightly buried on the lower undercards of these shows. Oiwa's been in most of the main events. He's been, you know, doing the six-mans together with Hartley and Zack Sabre Jr. against Bolton and Shota and Goto. and he's looked good in those. So he's been in main events. Farley's been in undercards. Like, no, he's always in.
I can't imagine him wanting to do it. I mean, paydays aside, I can't imagine Farley being like, yep, sign me up for that heat and humidity. Fucking G1, let's go. Like, he will say, like, I say this somewhat jokingly, but somewhat serious. Like, I worry about the fucking guy's health trying to get through a G1. Seriously. I mean, that's our saving grace. His absolutely atrocious state that he's in. So that's.
Did you see the Zach backstage comments about him?
He's fat.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I don't know what your official weight is. His official weight is fucking fat.
Yeah, I did see that. I
mean, look, he's just there to give Oiwa a nice scalp. This is what they do with Farley. They dig him up and dust him off for New Japan Cup first round. Right. G1 qualifies just so a young guy can beat him and make them look good. Farley's not going to be in the G1. Don't panic, people. I know New Japan is in the toilet right now. It feels like that to some extent, but it's not that bad. We're not at that point yet.
Oh my God. If he wins, Joe, I'm texting you immediately. I need a health
check. I will boycott the entire tournament if Farley wins.
Oh, good. All right. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed, people. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Where are you at on the other one? Chase and Yoshihashi.
I think Chase is in. And I think it was the bar brawl that put him over the top. That video. Now that I think of it, it was Lanza. Because Lanza said something that fucking had me pissing my pants laughing. When he was like, yeah, they're in the bar and game 3 of the Western Conference NBA Finals was on in the background. I might have lost my lunch on that one. That was fucking hilarious. That was a great line.
I like how Chase was beating up like all the skinniest people attacking him.
Right. I mean, how do you work that out? Hey, guys, I'm a pro wrestler. I want to shoot a little vignette here. What's a vignette? Just follow along. I won't break anything. Fucking idiot. Oh, love it. All right. Yeah, I'm not 100% confident. Don't get me wrong. But why not at this point? I would not be surprised if he's in. Now again, if we're looking at penny pinching New Japan Pro Wrestling, it would be probably a more frugal thing if they kept Yoshihashi in there. But I would be shocked if both of them don't make it. Fale, I don't think there's a chance.
It would be smart business for Chase. Like, if they said to him, no, you're not in G1 this year, but can you fly out and do a qualifier? And if the smart way to try and transition that into increased bookings in the States would be to do, you know, fresh coat of paint, new gimmick, new outfit, get maximum eyeballs on him, lose that match to Yoshihashi, and then hopefully try and piggyback that into a little bit more interest in the States. That is the copium I'm huffing at the moment. Whereas, you know, all signs are pointing towards he's got this new gimmick and put in House of Torture because he's going into the G1 climax, and that's where I'm landing at the moment. But you could make the case either way. I mean, I'm just pinning all my hopes to master politician Hiroki Goto here, but yeah, I'm not particularly confident on that.
All right, let's go, bag of socks. Let's get, you know, we need a big win from you. Let's put his house over misery. But I got a strange feeling it's Chase. But yeah, if there's a glimmer of hope, I can't imagine Folly being in it just because of what G1 is. I just can't imagine it. But all right, stranger things have happened. But here's the thing: we're sitting here talking about these two dorks. We you know, there's interest. At the very least, there's interest, right? You're like, you're going to watch and be like, all right, come on, fucking Yoshihashi. Let's go. Get it done.
Yeah, I ride or die in this match, Yoshihashi. This is apt that is part of New Japan Soul, because this is a battle for the soul of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
It's a battle for Yoshihashi wins.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing the Jose Mourinho knee slide in my house. And if Chase Owens wins, I'm going to be shouting on the podcast the following week. So look forward to that.
There you go. Listen, the par for the course, right? All right. Blah, 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 blah. Where are we going next?
Let's see. There wasn't. I watched this show. I didn't watch any of the other shows because, honestly, coming out of Dominion, I wasn't feeling like, right, let's chow down on some Road 2 action, six-man tags up and down the card. I was not in the mood for it. I did watch the entirety of the Korakuen show, which I think you will get. That's basically what they've been doing for the whole tour at this point. The only other thing that I thought was notable was the two new young lions debuting.
Oh, yeah,
Zane J and Tatsuya Matsumoto. That's a great name. That's a proper salaryman name.
Matsumoto.
Has no pro wrestler aura to it at all, does it? Tatsuya Matsumoto.
Yeah. Is it wrong for me to be apprehensive about trying to get on a young lion bandwagon?
Yeah, there's too many variables. I mean, we have seen young lions that we thought were absolute nailed on certainties to be future stars, and it's not panned out. So I don't know if I've got the energy to be dissecting and micro-analyzing all these details. I'm like, oh, this, he has slightly more snap than this guy. Right, and, oh, right. His, you know, his chin lock is tight. Rah, 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 like, it's silly. Right. Like, we don't know at this point. They both look good physically.
Yep.
Both of them jacked. You know, they've got the rippling muscles and six-pack chests. I like what I've seen from Zane J so far. I think the fact that he's, you know, out there in Japan and trying to make it happen, there's a lot to be said for that, because there's a lot of American wrestlers who just think they can make it, get a chance in New Japan by tweeting incessantly. But Zane J's actually put his money where his mouth is and gone out there and is in the dojo doing it the only way there is to do it, the hard way, going through the dojo. So respect him. And yeah, I think he's got all the tools to be successful. Matsumoto, yeah, I mean, it's way too early to say, but he's got a good body. So I like that. And he's got a salaryman name. Tatsuya Matsumoto is like the guy from the finance department, isn't it?
He sure is. Yeah.
Coming home late at night, stopping off at Matsuya on his way home for a premium Gyumeshi.
The hard shell briefcase.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Shirt, short sleeve, white shirt, right? Tie loosened. After a couple of beers with the comrades. Yeah. So what are you
coming home late, 11 p.m. Kids are already asleep.
Yeah.
The wife is waiting up for him.
Was a lot of
passive aggressive body language.
Yeah. I'm doing it for us, dear. I'm doing it for us.
You think I like this?
Right. We got the whole thing laid out. This is great. We should write the book. I think there's a lot to be positive about. And if you want to, one of the good things that New Japan does do, and again, the end results vary. We understand that. But I can't hand wave the idea of people wanting to watch young lions grow into true New Japan pro wrestlers. That is something that is very unique. You don't get that in Western fans. So there is an element that is kind of like you're in on the ground floor, which I do appreciate. I think we've gone through so many classes that it's hard to say who's going to be what. And I know that we always get questions of, who do you think of this group is going to be the star? And I get it. It's impossible to say at this point. I'm just looking for energy, connection, that kind of thing. I know you can do a Boston Crab. We got that. Let's see how you make out as you grow as a pro wrestler in the ring and doing it in front of people. That's the key.
There's also the Despy gimmick show.
Yeah.
A lot of blood. Was today. Would shock you, Damon. Would you believe me if I told you that they actually just wrestled a straight singles match?
Arm bars, right?
No gimmicks, okay. No weapons yet. Just, it was a Greco-Roman showcase. They did a grapple fuck match.
Nice. No ropes. They did like blood sport, right? Okay. But they did do blood sport, just the opposite of what we described. But it was blood sport. I saw still images of the show. I think there was a there were a couple nicks, couple nicks and scratches on a couple of guys. I think it's safe to say, right?
Yeah, accidental, just like the hard way. Yeah, just didn't mean to.
Breaking that fucking razor. Boy, what a way to make a living. Yeah, that's.
I'll watch that. I will do a review of that for the Patreon.
Ooh, okay. All right.
I don't know who I'll get on it, but I'll put the call out and I'm sure there'll be someone good. And even if no one joins, I'll have to do it by myself. It'll still be fucking great because all the stuff that I've put on the Patreon is great. So get your fucking wallet out.
Yeah.
Just do it. It's good.
You're the Noel Gallagher of fucking solo podcasts, my man. You're it.
I reviewed an entire DDT show by myself with no knowledge of DDT, and it was still critically acclaimed. Yeah.
Look at you. You're a fucking, you're head and shoulders, my man. Head and shoulders. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing else on that. And then what do we got around the corner? Didn't I see a little Tanahashi salt? No,
Tanahashi jam.
Jam.
Tanahashi marmalade.
Yes, delicious. A little spread. Marmite. That show,
so
the main event looks, I'm going to dare I say, let's put this like 5 years ago, it would have been amazing. Now it looks really good, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is a show that you can only watch if you're in Japan by subscribing to a certain TV channel. I don't know what it is. I've been told, but I've forgotten.
Put on your iPad.
I'm fairly certain that it will appear on New Japan World at some point in the future, but. So we got Katsuya Morishima against Daiki Odashima. I think he's a Noah Young Lion. We got Taguchi, Shota, and Tanahashi against Leona Hiromu and Tatsumi Fujinami.
Look at that. Look at that. The dragon making a return. Nice.
We got Yoshihashi, Yano, Taichi, Ishii, and Yuya against Chase Owens, Don Farley, Yujiro, Rin, and Evil. We've got a never open weight championship match, Oleg Bolton against Yuji Nagata.
Mm-hmm.
We've got our 8-man tag, Watto, Yo, Despy, and Dragon Kid. If Despy can get some blood transfusions in time, look, Damon, it's another multi man House of Torture tag match against Kanemaru, Doki, Sho, and Sanada.
God
so
damn.
We're going to see 9 members of House of Torture on this show, so look forward to that.
Can we pause then and digest? Can we just digest that for a second? We're talking about 2 multi-man tag matches with separate members. There are enough House of Torture members to satisfy the requirement of a multi-man tag match back-to-back. Fuck me. All right? There you go.
Oh, dear. We have also New Japan World TV Championship Open Challenge match, if Phantasmo is recovered in time. So ELP versus versus X.
Mm. Who's that? Who do you think?
It's Taguchi again.
I got it. Well, he's wrestling earlier, isn't he? He's going to double dip?
He's doing double duty.
Look at that guy. What a stud. I'm going to say it is Aaron Wolf. Just kidding. I have no idea who to. They'll pull somebody fucking out of, you know, Ricky Fuji. I'm going to say it's Ricky Fuji.
And we have a IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match, Hiroki Goto against Zack Sabre Jr. They're having a rematch. I cannot imagine that Zack would win the belt back on a show that not that many people are going to see. Stranger things have happened, but I think we're continuing to pad out the Goto title reign. Goto the politician, he wants to beat Okada's record before the year's up. That's what he's demanded.
Man, I tell you what, talk about a guy who's just, he's loving life. You know, the company has no fucking idea what they want to do. So they like, all right, we'll just keep it on him. And he's like, okay, we'll keep going. Keep cashing those checks, brother. Good for him. Good for him. Good for him. All right. I mean, what do you think of that show? It's not a terrible show, is it?
There's one more match, a tag match with Naomichi Marufuji and Hiroshi Tanahashi. So he's double duty against Oiwa and Kaito Kiyomiya.
Yeah. That should be pretty good, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's a pretty sexy match. Again, Tanahashi doesn't have to do a lot of the heavy lifting. I think there'll be some hard. You think there'll be a hard chop or two in that match? One or two?
I think some chops, some kicks. Yeah. I think there'll be chops and kicks. You'll get both.
Wow.
You spoil.
I mean, I know. They really do. They spoil us. That's not a terrible show. It's a shame that it's they're going to make it a little difficult for people to get eyeballs on it. But it's not a bad show. It's not a bad show. I mean, multi-man tags aside, it's not a bad show.
Maybe I'll do that on the Patreon as well.
Look at you.
Just go nuts. Hey, I've got to pay for all these pay-per-view shows somehow, Damon.
I know, really. That's another $19.99. We got to find a way. We got again, not to spill dirty laundry backstage behind the curtain kind of shit, but we got to find somebody for like for that first week of G1 because it won't be available, right?
Yeah. Am I going to do it? Am I going to do G1 daily audio? Am I going to
do
the Lanza gimmick?
No, you're not doing that. You'll hate your life. You don't do that. Don't do it. But yeah, so I think there's probably going to be 1 week where I can't do the show. But then for those of you, we have verbally committed to an in-person show somewhere around there. So that should be fun. That'll be the only, correct me if I'm wrong, the second one we've done in person.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the other one was
New York,
in your hotel room in New York, wasn't it?
Oh, I was so hungover. And I just remember you banging on the door. And me scrambling, acting like I wasn't just asleep. Like I wasn't just asleep. Oh, no, I was up. I was just walking, just setting up. And
Matt Taven won the
My head's fucking spinning.
Do you remember the Enzo and Cass running and that tackle?
Yes, absolutely.
That's the legacy of that show. Tamatonga flinging the tag titles on the floor saying, fucking it. Piece of shit. No one gives a shit about no ROH.
That was great. You know what else was pretty good? Obviously, Okada winning the title was pretty awesome.
The genesis of pastrami, the pastrami sandwich.
Pastrami sandwich was great. Yep, that was the genesis of it. You chowing down on a MSG, not the spice, the arena pastrami, but also the Muta Liger interaction in the rumble. Remember that? Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I dug that too. All right. We went 116. Up to you. We got questions, or do you want to wrap it up?
Let's do one more question from Guda Donka, who says, have we gotten our hopes for the Tanahashi retirement match up too high? Do you see a path where he faces evil at the dome? Maybe that's why they seem to be ramping up House of Torture shenanigans. So Tana's last act in New Japan is him ridding the company of the house for good, or having evil go over him in one last act of terrorism booking. Now, he did wrestle evil last year.
Yeah.
I think it would be a bit excessive to do his penultimate Wrestle Kingdom and his final Wrestle Kingdom match both being against evil. I mean, I know they like evil, but that would be a little bit indulgent by their standards. So
yeah.
I do feel like they are building this towards some sort of big Hontai House of Torture thing. I hope it comes with the finality of loser disbands, but it's not going to, so I'm not holding my breath. But Tanahashi final match, I think we were quite clear about this, weren't we, with the Rock and the Rubik's Cube and the chicken karaage and the lemon sours. I do not need to elaborate further.
Yeah, I think we were very clear. I mean I don't know what.
I'm sticking with my original prediction of Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah,
look, if they manage to get him for that Muto show, why can't we get him for Tanahashi? I think that would be fine. I don't think there is... I don't think you should have him doing the retirement match against a young guy, because retirement matches are all about the person who's retiring. I don't think you can get someone else over. It's not about the opponent. It's about the guy who's retiring. So doing that would be a mistake. Like, no one gives a shit who the opponent is. And I think this is a celebration of Tanahashi, and you want the pageantry and the spectacle and big names and lots of eyeballs. So if they can get Nakamura that's who they should do, and that would be perfect.
I think you're right. But let me throw a name at you, and you tell me if it's a possibility or not. He's in AEW. His last name begins with an O. Do you think they do that?
Who? Sorry?
I'm saying Okada, sir.
Oh, Okada, no.
No, you don't think they'll do that?
No.
I mean, it's his biggest rival.
I want Nakamura. That would feel special.
I mean, I think both would feel very special, to be honest with you. I'm just asking. I'm not saying that we know anything more or less, whatever. I'm not hinting at anything. Trust me. But you don't think they would do that? You don't think he would do that? You don't think the company would do that?
No, I don't.
Okay. No. Thanks for popping my bubble, man. Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
That's all right.
The only way I want Okada on that show is if Aaron Wolf is going to squash him in 3 minutes. And again, just please don't let Tony Khan know that Aaron Wolf can speak English, let alone swear. If he hears Aaron Wolf saying a swear word, then that's it. We're done. He'll be off to AEW before we know it.
Well, listen, we in America, we love our leaders that swear. I don't know if you know that. You don't know this one? Oh, I didn't even get a laugh out of that one. You must not know. We had our president talking about the situation between...
Oh, yes. He said the fuck word, didn't he?
He sure did. They really don't know what the fuck they're doing. I mean...
One of those moments of a broken clock being right twice a day where I'm just kind of listening to him and be like, you know what? He's right.
I mean, maybe not the best way to put it, but, you know, I can't say he's wrong. Okay.
He's got to hand it to ISIS.
I thought... I got to be honest with you. I thought it was like an AI generated, you know, how everybody does it now. You know, it's just, this is a press conference, you know, and you know, they just go berserko. I really thought it was an AI generated thing. And Cheryl was like, no, he fucking said it. I was like, no, he didn't. I was like, you got duped. Come on, you old lady. And I was like, holy, he sure did, didn't he?
It's very relatable, David. Like, as a teacher, the amount of times where I've wanted to drop a precision F-bomb, but managed to stop myself.
Why do you think we do it so often on this show? Because we don't have the opportunity to do it in real life.
That's it. My whole life, most of my day, I am trying not to swear because I don't want to swear in front of my own children. And I can't swear in my job. So that's why I look forward to date nights with Maddie, because I can just swear all the time. I'm like, fuck yeah, shit.
Right.
Bastards.
Right. It really is one of these. Like, I know people will sometimes turn off the show and be like, oh my God, they're unhinged. And you might be right. But like, it is with like, we don't have the opportunity to do this. Like, if you heard us outside of here, I think you might be even shocked that we're the same people. Like how many meetings do I have to sit through and not be like, you know what, you dumb motherfucking C word, you know what I mean? Like, holy, but we can do that here. It's our show. We can do whatever the fuck we want. We pay the bills. And there is something just completely cathartic about it. You know that? You know, there is something just completely like, it helps. It helps you get through the week sometimes. So, fuck you, Fale. How you like that? I got it out of my system. Fucker. All right. We're getting out of control.
I'm stopping there. I'm ending it. No, that's it.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Every other Monday, we're coming at you with news, show reviews, and previews of upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're just getting into the scene or you've seen it all, this is the show for you.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network and wherever you get your audio.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.